Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us discernment and wisdom concerning the things that are happening in the world and how they apply to biblical end times. We thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and our ears today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at something that's very interesting happening on the horizon here. And I'm sure you'll recognize it. But first I'm going to share this. This is a revelation that's given to Eve. She's been going through a time of being alone with the Lord in order to receive revelations that the Lord promised her. And he's been doing that, giving her some revelations. And this is a very interesting one. It's about three assassination attempts on President Trump. Now, let me say, dreams can be promises and they can be warnings. Neither have to come to pass. That's why the saints pray. If it's a warning and there needs to be prayer to allay the problem that is bringing the threat, then we can do that. Even if it's a promise of a deliverance and we don't do what we're supposed to do, it doesn't have to come to pass. So just remember that as we're listening to this. And Eve received this on February the 5th, 2019. I dreamed that I was standing on a street corner in a large U.S. city in the daytime. And her note on this was, we are turning a corner in this country. She was standing on a street corner. Okay, there were tall buildings all around, and the streets were packed with large crowds of people. They were all there for a public event of some kind, and I believe it was to see the president. Maybe a parade or a celebration. And she puts, this is a typical venue for terror attacks. True, parades, celebrations, whatever. I then watched as the presidential black limo pulled up to the curb right in front of the street corner I was observing from. As the president was getting out, I saw that he was Hispanic, and this surprised me. Okay, so there's something there to be looked at and something there to be seen. We've seen where people were Hispanic because they were foreigners to this country. Well, let me say, I'm talking about in a negative way, okay? But let me say that in a positive way, we are foreigners to this country. You know, anyway, he was Hispanic. Now, I'm not claiming Christianity for the president. I'm only claiming what the Bible says God put him in there to do. And he's doing a good job. He was coming to meet his wife, who also looked Hispanic, and their two sons at a very expensive high-end restaurant that was located on that same street corner. So, gonna eat some high-end food on this street corner. She said, their features were the same as in real life, except they had the brown skin and dark hair. And her note is, this president is a foreigner to the establishment elite system of governing the people. True. True. The president wanted his sons to experience this high-end restaurant, and then they were going to a stadium afterwards to watch a ball game. Wonder if the high-end restaurant is not the Christian restaurant that offers the food of God. And I have no doubt that they are to some extent experiencing this. I can see that some bad advisors have gathered around the president, and I've prayed against that and against their spirits. I'm sure you have too, to lead him in a wrong direction and or with a wrong spirit. So she went on to say, as he stepped out of the limo, his wife came up with the two sons from behind me to greet him. And then she has in her note, the two Hispanic or foreign sons, I believe, represents a corporate body that is the fruit of Trump's presidency, considering the Trump/David man-child parallel. The two foreign sons could represent the two witness company that is the fruits of the man-child ministry during the tribulation, which I believe Trump will preside over during his second term in office. Okay. Suddenly, a parachute bomber descended from the top of the building that they were going to eat at on the corner. His parachute opened, and he descended quickly. He was dressed in a very faded red jumpsuit of some kind, and his parachute matched red. Red is a warning color, for sure. Almost immediately, another parachute bomber descended from the top of a building almost directly across the street. He was dressed in a very faded blue jumpsuit with matching parachute as well. But one might, one right after another, they were stopped supernaturally about 10 feet from the ground, and they just hung there helplessly as if their parachutes were held in suspension. And she puts 10 represents the law and judgment. The faded jumpsuits could represent old tricks of the deep state elite. These first two attempts happened very close together. Red and blue could be a part of our flag, right? They happened very close together, since almost all of the dreams and prophecies are of things coming in the future. We can expect something like this to attempt, okay? But in this case, of course, they were thwarted. So it is just an attempt. Does it have to be that way? No, it doesn't. And I suggest you continue to pray against this, okay? Maybe the reason this is being stated this way is because the saints have prayed against it happening. So you see, you have to look at it that way. I knew in my spirit that if they had hit the ground, their bombs would have exploded and killed many people. The bombs weren't visible on their persons, and I knew they hoped to get the president also with these attempts. Yes, they've tried, if I remember correctly, it's some 12 times that they have tried up to this time to kill him. And, of course, we know God has kept him alive for his purpose and because the saints have prayed. I could see another parachute bomber further down the street. I would say that might represent later in time. Jumping off the top of another building, dressed in a very faded yellow jumpsuit with matching parachute. Could the yellow be a faded white or off-white? Then you would have a red, white, and blue. Our own people, right? Does this represent our own people? It seems like to me, yeah, the deep state traitors. And then the same thing happened to him. In other words, a future attempt also thwarted. Well, Father, we do pray for that in the name of Jesus. We pray that since you have told us the full work of Cyrus Trump in the Bible, in many places, actually. And he hasn't finished that work yet. We trust that you will keep him alive to finish the work that you've called him to do. Thank you for protecting him, Lord. We send forth the angels to do so. In Jesus' name. The Secret Service guys alerted the president of the immediate dangers, and he grabbed two of his sons and hid them in a secret compartment in the outer red brick wall of the high-end restaurant that he was hurried back into the limo. Then he was hurried back into the limo, covered by the Secret Service agents for a quick getaway. His wife was peacefully watching all this from behind me. She didn't seem to be in any danger during this whole dream, as she was able to walk the streets freely without concern. The Secret Service agents, is her note here, are angels charged with Trump, David, Manchild's protection, as in previous dreams. Well, okay. So far, so good, I think. The police were all over the three bombers, very quickly cutting them down from their tangled mess of a parachute and putting them in handcuffs to take them off to jail. I said to myself in the dream, the deep state is behind these bombing attempts. So saying it in the dream gives it more punch, I would say. I wondered if they got scared and called them off. The crowd cheered as the policemen handcuffed the bombers and led them away. Seems like the people are not going along with what the deep state wants. Eve said, I'm sure the Lord is behind the thwarting of the elite plans, whether through striking fear in their hearts or by other physical means. Also, this may represent the high-level arrests that are coming of the deep state puppets on their strings. The public was aware of the arrests and were very happily cheering. That's good. We noticed that the public was overwhelmingly impressed with the State of the Union, even from people like New York Post and things like that, people who were not even happy about the results of their polling. So that's a pretty good sign that this thing is turning a corner. And that people are, you know, gathering behind the president, and they are catching the deep state in more and more crime, and people are realizing that, realizing what they're dealing with. And, of course, Nancy's putting on a good show there, too. I'm sure that most of the country is against what she's doing. So, and we have dreams about the wall, too. I'm going to share that probably next time. I won't share that this time, but. The president was shaken and concerned for his children. After the danger was passed and the streets were cleared, the president returned to the hiding place and opened the small door in the wall and retrieved his sons. So, I mean, did this have something to do with hiding them in the restaurant or hiding them in Christ? The Word of God, the teachings, whatever. He was relieved that they were safe and okay. And Eve noted here that Father will protect the fruit of Trump, David, Manchild's with our Psalm 91 secret place of the Most High. And then I woke up, she said. I asked Father for a random verse for this dream, and my finger was on, destroy it not. Destroy it not. Even the phrase, Sometimes the Lord gives you a text, but he gives you just a phrase, and that phrase is supposed to mean something concerning what you're asking about. Sometimes the context doesn't fit. In this case, I think the context fits somewhat, yes. And it was in Isaiah 65, 8, destroy it not, and context 2 through 12. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. Look, folks, the Lord is defending America not because of any of the righteousness of its people or of his church here that walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. Yes, even their religion, and that they call Christianity, is after their own thoughts. They're not paying attention to the word or rightly dividing the word. A people that provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and burning incense upon bricks. In other words, they're turning what they call Christianity into an idol, an idolatry. That sit among the graves and lodge in the secret places, that eat swine's flesh, partaking of the old greedy flesh, right? And broth of abominable things is in their vessels. That say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. Well, it's true, most all of God's people believe that they are holy, because I guess mostly because their preachers have said so. But the self-righteousness, as though we haven't received a gift from God of grace rather than earned it. You know, we got no bragging rights because we didn't earn it, right? Well, the Lord says, these are a smoke in my eyes. Well, you know what a nuisance a smoke is in your eyes, right? Or a smoke in my nose, excuse me. Again, a nuisance. A fire that burneth all the day. Okay. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense. Yea, I will recompense into their bosom your own iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, that have burned incense upon the mountains and blaspheme me upon the hills. Therefore will I first measure their work into their bosom. Well, we've shared with you how that God isn't completely destroying the deep state, and that's for reasons of God. He's going to use the deep state and even the one world religious order to come against Christians in America. We've received this over. There's hardly ever a morning that we get together for verses that they're not verses that apply to this. Apostate Christianity being attacked, and the bride escaping. We've talked about this scenario before so much. So it's something that is coming. So why has Trump and the people with him not been able to totally wipe out the deep state as he believes is going to happen? Because they are being saved to chasten the people before that happens. And also, let me say, the seed of all of this has been sown for the tribulation period when the beast makes war with the saints. We wonder why in the world did God call this corporate body of people around the world a beast? Well, we can see it now, can't we? Yes, we can see it in the church, and we can see it in the government. We can see it in the people. The red, white, and blue. We've got people coming against the president on both sides, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats. All of them are into deep sin. That's why they're doing that. They don't realize what God is doing here, what God has called President Trump to do. And so they're fighting against him. You can't trust any of them. The deep state, whether it's on the right or the left, doesn't make any difference. They're out to destroy this kind of freedom. Most of all, the people don't deserve freedom here. Because of rebellion against God and all these fake Christian religions out there. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. There's the text. So will I do for my servant's sake. Notice, he will not let them destroy what is found in the cluster, what he is saving. The reason he's not destroying all of apostate Christianity is because in the midst of that spread out is God's bride, a righteous group of people who are following him. He won't do this. He won't bring this destruction completely for his servant's sake. That I may not destroy them all, he says. Very clear. Fits very well. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains. And my chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor, which means troubling, a place of herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. So God's going to bring peace to his people who have sought him, desired after him. You know how you can tell when somebody is desiring after him rather than just religious? Because there are so many just religious people out there that have their denominations are idols in their eyes. You can't show them truth. You can't show them scripture. You can't put anything across to them that's spiritual. They have this idol that they're bowing down to. And so we have to humble ourselves to the Word of God. This is the only way, because the Word of God is the water in the baptism that puts to death the old man. People don't like death. People don't want death. They don't even understand that they've come here to die just like Jesus did. He told us we had to take up our cross and follow him if we're going to be his disciples. But you that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, in other words, they have decided not to follow the leadership of Zion, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for fortune. In other words, whatever prospers me, people think that it prospers them to recreate Christianity in their own image, but it really brings destruction, doesn't it? And that fill up mingled wine unto destiny. People want to believe something other than what the truth is. Wine is capable of doing that, as we know. I will destine you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer, and when I spake, you did not hear. Of course, God is speaking through repentance ministries, like the Elijah ministry, you know, repentance, John the Baptist type ministries. He's speaking, they're not listening. But you did that which was evil in mine eyes, and chose that wherein I delighted not. Okay, she said, I asked for a random word for the president in this dream, and my finger was on, thou searchest out my path. Thou searchest out my path. And that was Psalm 139:3. And the context is 1 through 19. So I'll start at 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine up-rising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And here's where her finger was. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. So, the Lord knows the president. And he is the only one that's keeping him alive and enabling him to do as much as he has done, which is just phenomenal. Even a lot of his enemies are admitting that what he's been able to do with all of this resistance and all of the enemy against him is phenomenal. And what happened when God's people were in Egypt and God hardened the deep state there to not let go? And God Almighty did miracles and chastened them until they had to let them go. So what is happening out there? Obviously, we're seeing the chastening of the deep state. It is crumbling. It's not going to be completely destroyed before it has a chance to bring chastening to God's people, because that's his purpose. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. I would say that's kind of true of Trump, right? He's been beset behind and before. The wicked are everywhere. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overwhelm me, and the light about me shall be night, even the darkness hideth not from thee, but the light shineth as the day. In other words, this God sees as well at night as he does in the day, right? The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. But thou didst form me, did form my inward parts. I believe the Lord started preparing Trump way back in his upbringing, in his pastor, Norman Vincent Peale, who, when I was young, knew somewhat about him. He was a very positive thinking person. I don't say he was always balanced, but he did teach people to think positively upon the Lord. And while I can see this in Trump, I can see Norman Vincent Peale in Trump, in his confidence, in his saying what he's going to do before he does it, and such things. I can see it there. I believe the Lord was forming him for this job, right? Thou didst cover me in my mother's womb, and I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see mine unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, They are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloodthirsty men. Well, surely there are some bloodthirsty men around Trump and around his parallel, the man-child ministry. Bloodthirsty men. I asked Father for a word concerning the two sons, the corporate body fruit, and my finger was on 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 in the concordance, and 7 and 8 is the context. Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. This is what the Lord is calling us to today. We had just shared with you some revelations concerning the Lord speaking to those people who are running to be in the bride. How that the Lord is calling us today to not have any bad fruit that has not been preserved and still living in our life, right? How that the Lord wants us to seek out any such thing and to destroy it and to get on the side of the Lord with our sword of the Spirit and come against anything that is hindering our maturity in Him. He says, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, as we've said, this all applies to the bride, but it also applies to the two witnesses, who, as you know, when Jesus came into the New Testament and was crucified, he was resurrected as a corporate body we call the body of Christ, because it is the resurrection life of Christ who is in the body of Christ. And we know it was Jesus who raised up the corporate body of two witnesses to follow him whithersoever he went. They were to go into every place that he himself was about to come. And they went two by two. It's a corporate body of two witnesses. Just like the beast is a corporate body, the woman is a corporate body, the harlot is a corporate body. All of those are corporate body people. It can be proven from the scriptures. Please read our book, Hidden Manna from the End Times. You'll see it clearly. If you can't see it, then you don't respect the book. So this casting out the old leaven, purging out the old leaven, that we may be a new lump, it applies to these two witnesses who begin their ministry shortly after Jesus began his ministry. They were there to walk in his steps, to learn how to be disciples, which is a learner and a follower, right? So I'd say that applies pretty good to them. Let me say that the deep state, one world government, because that's what it is, it's not just the government of the United States, it's all over and into all governments. And also the one world religious order, which are one and the same. Just read Revelation 17, you know, the harlots riding upon the beast. They come together, right? So the deep state, one world government, and the one world religious order is still in process and will ultimately come. President Trump is facing them with tremendous crimes against humanity. And they are trying to eliminate him and the man-child parallel. Their joining hands now is an attempt to stave off this prosecution that's already in progress. So what is this coming one world religious order that is riding on the back of the one world government beast? Well, it's coming. It's coming very fast. I'm going to share this article with you. It's in What Does It Mean? Historic Agreement to Create a One World Religion, signed by Pope Francis, spurs China to abandon the no first strike nuclear war stance. Okay, and this is by Sorcha Fall. A heart-stopping new end-times worded Security Council report circulating in the Kremlin today. Well, first of all, I don't know if these people are literally sisters of a religious order. I do know that they believe in the end times. And I do know that they believe that we're in the end times. And in this article, I watched carefully as they made a very good, description of what is happening at this time that agrees with the Bible in most cases. So this was a Security Council report circulating in the Kremlin. It read like it was ripped from the pages of the ancient book of Revelation, which warned nearly 2,000 years ago of a false religion that would rise in the world and permit and even encourage the death of those who follow Jesus. True. You got that right, didn't they? I mean, all of the religions of the world are going to decide against the Christians. Are they doing that now? Of course. The Catholic Church fought against Christianity very strongly, and I was raised a Catholic, but I knew after I was born again, I knew that the people I had been with all of my life weren't born again, including my mother, who was insistent that I go to the Catholic Church till I got big enough to say no. At any rate, it's not Christian. I just have to tell you, it's not Christian, and it never was. So, this beast that's rising up is like the one in Revelation, and the one world religious order too is like the one in Revelation. And this is what they're talking about. It states that as President Putin prepares for his 20th February address to the Federal Assembly and nation, grave concerns have been raised after the People's Republic of China announced it will soon likely abandon its no first strike nuclear weapon stance. A move this communist atheist country has deemed needed to protect itself against a United States it fears will soon be swept over by the historic one world religion. Well, of course, they've been making war since the beginning against America. President Lincoln fought fiercely against the Catholic Church. That's a matter of history. So, this document that's been signed into existence this past Monday by Pope Francis and Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayyib. Okay. Then there's a picture of Pope Francis and the Grand Imam, and they're signing this historic One World Religion Agreement on February the 4th, 2019. Remember, we just had a revelation that was the end of 70 years for me, and it was parallel to some things. And I pointed out that one parallel is after 70 years, a first fruits came out of Babylon to begin rebuilding the kingdom of God in our spiritual promised land. That's one of them. Well, here's another one, February the 4th. Now, what's being raised up is the one world religion. Whoa. Okay. And, of course, the beginning of the 70th week would be probably a birthday for the one world religion. So, this is all of a sign. Signs come before the fact, but this is a sign. I'm seeing it. And according to this report, barely 4 months after the historic breaking apart of the Russian Orthodox Church, many believe will lead to war. Moscow became greatly concerned when Pope Francis, the leader of an estimated 1.2 billion Roman Catholic Christians in the world. So let me say, when I was in Catholicism, and I was just there because I was forced to be there, but when I was in it, I knew that they said that anybody that's ever been a Catholic is still a Catholic. In other words, they're like a lot of the daughter harlots. If you was ever there, they count you to be a member. Now they might take your head off, you know, but they, if you don't agree with them and you change and you become a Protestant, because they do that still, but you're a member when it comes down to time to make the count, right? Okay. So the leader, Pope Francis, of the Catholic Church, suddenly announced that he would be making a historic visit to the Middle Eastern Muslim monarchy, United Arab Emirates, on February the 3rd through the 5th. And of course, on the 4th is when they signed this. A concern that rose to outright terror after Pope Francis met with Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayyib, the leaders of the world's estimated 1.5 billion Sunni Muslims. 1.2 million, 1.5 million. And whom together signed a one world religion agreement against the tenets of both Christianity and Islam that in part astonishingly declares. So this agreement declares these things that I'm going to share with you. Again, I believe this agreement is being pushed forward because that so much has come out through the NSA and other intelligence departments and research by different portions of the government that are set to prosecute many people, even around the world, that this is pushing forward. People want to gather together into larger groups for strength, right? And it's amazing that the Pope is saying there's no difference between the Catholics and Islam. And in a way, I know that that's true. If you just study the history of both, you know that that's true. So their document declares this: the word of God is now ordered to be used to simultaneously identify Allah and the God of Christianity. In other words, the Pope agrees with the Muslims that this is true. They're both God. Number two, the diversity of religions that we see in the world was willed by God. Well, of course, he was scattering a Babylonian unity that was to no good. It was to evil. He was keeping them apart so that there wouldn't be strength there. It is willed by God, but not the way he's talking about. God didn't choose this as a good thing. He chose this to keep men
from being too strong and killing a lot more people. And there are no differences between them. I'm reading the document here. You know, it says, and there are no differences between them. The diversities of the religions is willed by God, and there's no differences between them. Wow. This is a guy that knows nothing about Christianity. And we've known that. But human fraternity, not God, is what embraces all human beings. Wow. Unites them and renders them equal. Human fraternity makes you equal. You're not made equal under God. In other words, God's not a respecter of persons, religions, or otherwise. Nationalities, religions, or otherwise. Colors, he's not a respecter of any of these things. And when it comes to being his people, he takes people out of all of these to be his people. It does not mean the rest of them are his people. The rest of those are sons of the devil. But, of course, the Pope doesn't believe in sons of the devil. It's very obvious. He doesn't believe that some are called and some are not, even though the Bible declares it. He doesn't read the Bible, and he don't want you to read it. So it's human fraternity, not God. All people must have full world citizenship that transcends national borders. So they are deciding the one world order is the way to go. This is a very large group of people, and they're pushing for the one world order. Of course, we knew that the Pope was, of course, a deep stater. He's pushed socialism and so on, which is attempting through our universities to pervert all of our young people to socialism and even Marxism. And so, but these kids don't know anything about history. They don't know socialism has failed every time. And when socialism comes, it's not that there is equality and blessing. It's that everybody's poor and nobody wants to work because there's no motivation for the carnal man to work. If you don't make any more, if you work harder, why work? Socialism is the government should be given to all of us. But listen, even under socialism, even under communism, there is a hierarchy who lives high above the people, and they always become criminal to the extent that they kill people. And what economy can survive socialism? We just saw Venezuela bite the dust. It was a very, very rich country. When I was young, it was a very rich country. Exxon even wanted me to go down there and work to promote their business down there. Well, all that became a part of the government, you see. Socialism does that. And it went downhill ever since. Because that's what it does. Now we've got foolish people up there wanting to try something that's been tried so many times and failed every time. I mean, every time. With a lot of bloodshed and murder. What are these professors teaching them that would put socialism in there, ignoring all of history? The kids are getting raised up this way. Think twice about sending your kid to one of these crazy colleges. Even the most elite of the colleges is a perversion. So, all people must have full world citizenship that transcends national borders. Another one. Contains a pledge made by the Catholic Church and Al-Azhar to announce and to convey this one world religion document to authorities in influential leaders, persons of religion all over the world, which, were, by the way, were attending this thing, personal, different religions were attending this thing, not just Sunni Islam and Catholicism. Appropriate regional and international organizations within civil society, religious institutions, and leading thinkers so that they can begin its implementation. Aha! So we're going to force this down your throat. What does that sound like? Socialism. We're going to force this religion down your throat. Believe me, when they come to power, political power, and the politicians, you know who, they're wherever the money is, that's where they are. When they come to power, they're going to want to kill off those who have all kinds of proof against them. He said, "You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Standing firmly opposed to this new world order religion, this report notes, is Communist China, whose nearly 1.4 billion citizens live under constant threat of their nation's total war on religion of all kinds. Well, yeah, even Constantine recognized that because the people under him were divided by nationalities and religion, there would be no peace. And I agree. I mean, look, the largest, what they call Christian religion, it's not Christian. It is not Christian. The largest Christian religion has caused the death of many, many people. Anybody that disagreed with them, as a matter of fact, in a lot of cases. So it's dangerous. And the world, the wicked world, can look on and see it's dangerous. Constantine knew that, so he tried to unite them into a one-world religion, which was called Catholicism, right? And it's universal religion. They joined all the beliefs of all these different religions into one, and now it's called Catholicism, which it's not Christian. Are there Christians in there? Yes, there are Christians in Catholicism. I've met some of them, and I know spirit-filled Christians in there. And they're leaning less and less to the church, that what they have called the church, and more towards Protestant teachings. I've known that since I was very young. I've seen that. And so, of course, the Catholic Church has done many things to try to keep control over these people. But it's failed, because outpourings of the Holy Spirit tend to make people believe the Bible. And, of course, the Catholic Church does not want you to read the Bible. That's a fact. I have sent Bibles out, and other people have sent our Bibles out and had them burned. That's right, burned by Catholics. So even to the point where today sees over 1 million Chinese citizens being forced into concentration camps until they renounce all of their religious beliefs. Okay, because they know that religion starts as many wars as politics does, or patriotism does, or all these things that start wars. They can see that. That's why they're totally against it. And, of course, they have persecuted the church that's among these religions, including the false Christian religion. So they persecuted the church, too. The greatest fears, though, harbored by China's communist leaders, this report explains, are that the fast rising to total power leftist socialist forces in the United States are going to rapidly embrace this one-world religion in order to eradicate from their nation all Christian peoples, whom they hold in utter contempt and blame for electing President Donald Trump to be their leader. Yes, they do. And is their last remaining roadblock to being able to force socialism upon all their peoples. Yes, and as we know, in the State of the Union, he definitely came against socialism. As a total failure, it is, you know. Most gravely to note about China's fears are these leftist socialist forces in the United States. This report continues, are that they are entirely justified, as these leftist socialists have now all lost their minds. Yes, it's true. It's a demon possession. People are trying to figure out, did aliens do this? Is this a disease? This is, you know, they're looking at these people and they said, well, we've never seen people become nutty in mass like this. But we have. And we know it's demonic possession. So, and we know the demons. And I wish I could talk to President Trump and tell him about the demons. It's what he's really dealing with here, because it doesn't make sense to him. It don't make sense to anybody. They've never seen anything like this. The devil has never come out of hiding as much as he has now. And as evidenced by their just having pushed forth a new law in the United States Congress, they call the Green New Deal. You heard about the Green New Deal? Well, it's those nutty socialists that orders every single building and home in the United States is to be torn down and rebuilt. That's their Green New Deal. That's part of it. And I'll share some more with you here. Is it nutty? Where's the money going to come from? Well, they think, we just print it. That's what we've always done. We just print it. But you see, Trump is going back towards the gold standard. Or let me say, probably the precious metals standard. But so you can't just print unless you have that standard, that basis, right? So that's their idea. It doesn't matter how much it costs. Every single building to be torn down and rebuilt. The use of all traditional forms of energy like gasoline, oil, and coal are to be ended in 10 years. You see, if the socialists just come out and tell you these things right up front, which is all leaking out, Acacia, what's her name? she's talking too much, giving away all their secrets, and they're getting tired of it. And because all of the people listening know it's stupid. All of them know it's stupid. You see, but this is what's behind it. A bunch of demon possession, which has never worked anywhere in the world. Every time it's been tried, it just ends up in a lot of death and destruction. So all nuclear power plants are to be shut down and dismantled in 10 years. Hey, I wish it so. But I don't think a lot of people would agree if they lost their electricity, you know. But let me tell you, the earthquakes that are coming are going to turn Fukushima loose all over the United States. So it's going to be a disaster. All nuclear power plants are to be shut down and dismantled in 10 years. What are you going to do without an economy? How could you get to that point without an economy? And once the socialists take over, you don't have an economy. They want all this money, but their methods are going to destroy economy, right? Trains are to be built all across America and all air travel ended. I mean, this thing about global warming, well, this is behind it. And it's been so disproven, but they still stand behind it like a religion, you know. So they want to do away with all air travel. They want to have trains built all across America. How does this stop the problem? This would aggravate the problem. But They can't think. All jobs in America are to be unionized. Well, let me say that. If you force unionization, the unions will have power that they've never had before. When unions come into power, there's big problems. Just like when the people who own the businesses come into complete power, there's big problems. There's people taking advantage of people when you get overbalanced in either direction here. And there's so much criminal activity in the unionization, and there's so much criminal activity in the deep state oil business, right? Criminals on both sides. So just push it one way or the other, and you got a big problem. All Americans get health care and college education paid for by the government. Again, all of this is paid for by the government. Where is the money going to come from? People not wanting to work for any reason will be paid by the government. I guess that's one reason why socialism doesn't work, because people don't want to work. They don't get any more if they work than if they don't. So notice that. Pretty soon everybody's going to be starving to death because nobody wants to work. All cattle are to be eliminated because of their danger. I'm just reading what's said here, right, folks? It just says all cattle are to be eliminated because of their dangers to the environment farts. Yes, you heard me right. Left unanswered by these obviously insane leftist socialists taking power in America, this report concludes, is how they're going to pay for this Green New Deal. As the United States currently has a national debt of over $21 trillion, its citizens and businesses owe a staggering $27 trillion more, and today sees its state, federal, and local pensions being $7 trillion short of the monies they need to pay their citizens who've already retired. Oh, my. So where are they going to come up with the money? But whose embrace of this new world order religion will allow them to continue to live in their made-up fantasy world, while Russia and its peoples at least will calmly wait for Jesus to return and destroy these godless monsters like he promised he would. Oh, gosh. It's sad. So now that Islam and false Christianity, Sunnis make up the overwhelming majority of Islam. So now that they have joined with false Christianity, I mean, true Christianity can only be described by Jesus himself. We have his writings in the Bible. I dare anybody that says Catholicism is Christianity to go read what Jesus said. So they're making peace. When the Jews fall in line, which, you know, even the very worst of prophecy experts out there agree this will happen. They will come under the guidance of the beast, even though they're falsely describing the beast and don't understand the beast is sitting right next to them. So when the Jews fall in line, their peace with their enemies that Trump is working on will make the covenant with many possible. And when the UN and the minor religions, who are all under Satan, fall in line, because Satan has ability to do that, it's been to his advantage to keep them at war with one another so that he can kill off as many as possible. But now he wants to kill off the Christians. So for Satan to unify all of his religions out there, which the Pope says is all the same God as his, I don't disagree with that. So this will make it possible for the Muslims and the Jews to come into agreement. And we can have a wonderful one world order. Let me give you another bit of background here with the one world religion theme. This one is Michael Snyder's revelation. It's on Zero Hedge. The historic interfaith covenant was signed in the Middle East on Monday, and the mainstream media in the United States has been almost entirely silent about it. Mm-hmm. Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayyib is considered to be the most important imam in Sunni Islam, and he arrived at the signing ceremony in Abu Dhabi with Pope Francis hand in hand in a symbol of interfaith brotherhood. But this wasn't just a ceremony for Catholics and Muslims. According to a British news source, the signing of this covenant was done in front of a global audience of religious leaders from Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and other faiths. So you see, it is happening. And here's, you know, pieces from that. The Pope and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, I'm trying to pronounce that, it's A-Z-H-A-R, have signed a historic declaration of fraternity calling for peace between nations, religions, and races. Peace between the religions, because they're so contrary. They're all, the Catholicism and Islam preaches you can kill people that are thwarting your religion. And they've done it for many years. In front of a global audience of religious leaders from Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and other faiths, Pope Francis, the leader of the world's Catholics, and the Sheikh, the head of Sunni Islam's most prestigious seat of learning, arrived at the ceremony in Abu Dhabi, hand in hand in a symbol of interfaith brotherhood. Let me read on down a little bit here. In other words, there was a concerted effort to make sure that all of the religions of the world were represented at this gathering. And according to the official Vatican website, a tremendous amount of preparation went into the drafting of this document, and it encourages believers from all religions to shake hands, embrace one another, kiss one another, and even pray with one another. The Lord himself scattered the people at Babel, confused their tongues, spread them out on the continent, then broke the continent up and spread it out. He did not want a one-world religion. He confused them so that that wouldn't happen. So, yes, he has made the divisions. He's made the divisions so that they do not come together. But now they've decided we want to build Babel again. And it goes on to say the document signed by the Pope and Grand Imam was prepared with much reflection and prayer, the Pope said. I bet you. The great danger at this moment, he continued, is destruction, war, hatred between us. Well, do you think this will solve it? I don't think so. They'd have to all be born again for all of these differences to go away. That's the only thing the Bible says will bring about peace between the beasts, right? If we believers are not able to shake hands, embrace one another, kiss one another, and even pray, our faith will be defeated, he said. The Pope explained that the document is born of faith in God, who is the Father of all. Oh, well, where do the sons of the devil come in? Where does Jesus say, you are of your father, the devil, and the father of peace? It condemns all destruction, all terrorism, from the first terrorism in history, that is that of Cain. There is a lot of language about peace in this document, but it goes way beyond just advocating for peace. Over and over again, the word God is used to simultaneously identify Allah and the God of Christianity. And here's just one example. We who believe in God and in the final meeting with him and his judgment on the basis of our religious and moral responsibility, and through this document call upon ourselves and upon the leaders of the world, as well as the architects of international policy and world economy, to work strenuously to spread the culture of tolerance and of living together in peace, to intervene at the earliest opportunity to stop the shedding of innocent blood and bring an end to wars. There is no peace to the wicked. He evidently hadn't read what the Lord had to say about this. There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. So he wants to bring an end to wars by an organization of men. Conflicts, environmental decay, and the moral and cultural decline that the world is presently experiencing. On top of that, the document also boldly declares the diversity of religions that we see in the world was willed by God. Yeah. They mean for good. No. It was to spare the world their one world religious order that he scattered them. It was to spare the world. And now they want to not spare the world and bring them under this judgment. When these religions come to power, they make life unbearable. Freedom is a right of every person. Again, the document. Each individual enjoys the freedom of belief, thought, expression, and action. But when they come into power, this is not true. This is not going to happen. They're going to persecute the saints. The beast, with the harlot riding on his back, is going to make war on the saints. The pluralism and the diversity of religions, color, sex, race, and language are willed by God in his wisdom, through which he created human beings. This divine wisdom is the source from which the right to freedom of belief and freedom to be different derives. They don't permit you to be different. They do not. They will force their religion down your throat. I am very familiar with it, with what's going on in foreign lands as far as them killing people that do not agree with them. Therefore, the fact that people are forced to adhere to a certain religion or culture must be rejected. He's not rejecting it, except in politics. They're acting as though this is a new Catholic Church. It is not. They are still doing the same thing. As to the imposition of a cultural way of life that others do not accept. Those are pretty words. But I can tell you there's only one way that lost, decrepit, sinful man can be one with one another, and that is all of them to be born again. This is what makes peace. The lion shall lay down with the lamb when this happens. In essence, this is saying that it is the will of God that there are hundreds of different religions in the world, that they are all acceptable in his sight. Pure baloney. And really, there's no such thing as pure baloney. We know that the elite want a one world religion, but to see the most important clerics from both Catholicism and Islam make such a dramatic public push for it is absolutely stunning. I agree. Wow. Very, very dangerous, too. You can find the full text of the covenant that they signed on the official Vatican website. I have also reproduced the entire document below, he said. Here's an introduction, actually. Faith leads a believer to see in the other a brother or sister to be supported and loved. Through faith in God. Well, how come this has never happened? How come they think that they can make it happen now since it's never happened before under them, under their religion? It's never happened. It's human nature is the problem. They have this funny idea that humans are inherently righteous when we know from the statistics that this is a lie. And we know from the Bible that this is a lie. There has to be a change of nature, which neither Catholicism, I'm a witness, nor Islam is able to give. There has to be a change in nature. You can't force communism, but communism can be, not considering the doctrine of ancient Russia or China or whatever. I'm talking about living in unity, making sure everybody's needs are met, so on and so forth. There's only one thing that can do this. Christianity. They shared alike. They made sure everybody's needs were met, but it was out of a heart of love, not compelled from some government. It was out of a heart of love. If a person is born again, they can have community. They can share and share alike. And it doesn't matter to them whether somebody else makes more than they do or makes the same as they do. It doesn't matter to them because they're doing it to serve the Lord. Through faith in God, who has created the universe, creatures, and all human beings equal on account of his mercy, believers are called to express this human fraternity by safeguarding creation and the entire universe and supporting all persons, especially the poorest and those most in need. Well, I don't see that the religions are doing anything to bring that to pass. When the poor's needs are met, it's because of disciples of Jesus. These are the ones that they're going to want to kill. The Bible declares this transcendental value served as the starting point for several meetings characterized by a friendly and fraternal atmosphere where we shared the joys, sorrows, and problems of our contemporary world. We did this by considering scientific and technical progress, therapeutic achievements, the digital era, the mass media and communications. We reflected also on the level of poverty, conflict, and suffering of so many brothers and sisters in different parts of the world as a consequence of the arms race, social injustice, corruption, inequity, moral decline. Where does most of this come from? Did you see the map that we've got of the crime spots in the United States? And the places where the blue was, they're identical. In other words, the blue, with their leanings towards socialism, has got more crime, not less, more crime. Most of all the crime is in those areas. So, I mean, the proof is all against them. Discrimination, extremism, and many other causes. From our fraternal and open discussions and from the meetings that expressed profound hope in a bright future for all human beings, the idea of this document on human fraternity was conceived. It is a text that has been given honest and serious thought so as to be a joint declaration of good and heartfelt aspirations. And guess who's going to be the spoilers of this whole thing? Yes, us. So what do they decide to do? Kill. That's what the Bible says, and it's not that far off either. Their hypocrisy is going to show, but it won't make any difference because all of the people that agree with them are hypocrites. So it is a document that invites all persons who have faith in God and faith in human fraternity to unite and work together so that it may serve as a guide for the future generations. What future generations? To advance a culture of mutual respect. There's going to be chaos in the awareness of the great divine grace that makes all human beings brothers and sisters. And yet, the one who created the earth scattered them and knew better than to let them come together in some devious plan to reach heaven, you know. Yes. Document. In the name of God, who has created all human beings equal in rights, duties, and dignity, He may have created people somewhat equal from birth, but they go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies, the Bible says. So sin, which entered the camp, is keeping people from being able to do anything like what they're talking about. And who has caused them to live together as brothers and sisters to fill the earth and make known the values of goodness, love, and peace. This is nuts. It's never happened and it never can happen outside of Jesus Christ. So it's another experiment after all of the other experiments that failed to do it again. And when they failed, they were a tremendous failure. In the name of innocent human life that God has forbidden to kill, affirming that whosoever kills a person is like one who kills the whole of humanity. Oh my goodness, these are religions that have killed a lot of people. It's in their nature. It's in their selfish nature to kill. And that whoever saves a person is like one who saves the whole of humanity. Beautiful words of hypocrisy. In the name of the poor, the destitute, the marginalized, and those most in need, whom God has commanded us to help as a duty required of all persons, especially the wealthy and of means. So we're going to spread the wealth. We're going to take it away from the rich and give it to the poor. And so nobody will be there to build the great factories and hire all the people and so on and so forth. Right? In the name of orphans, widows, refugees, and those exiled from their homes and their countries, in the name of all victims of wars, persecution, and injustice, in the name of the weak, those who live in fear, prisoners of war, and those tortured by any part of the world without distinction. In the name of peoples who have lost their security, peace, and the possibility of living together, becoming victims of destruction, calamity, and war. When a person is born again, they know that there is a possibility of people coming together, not respecting persons, not respecting race, not respecting nationalities, and love one another and live in peace. They know that's a possibility. But even among those who have been born again, there have been broken up into denominational factions that fight against each other. Okay? But what is the problem? The problem is they haven't been taught that you must continue to be born again, not only in your spirit, but in your soul and in your body. You must be born again. Jesus didn't stop it with just a born-again spirit. And so as we strive by faith in God to come into His image, this is the place of peace. And it happens. It does happen. When people who are there entertain the devil, they are driven out by God, like Ananias and Sapphira. They were driven out by God. And then a little leaven doesn't leaven the whole lump. So God Himself is separating the wheat from the tares. In the name of human fraternity that embraces all human beings, unites them, and renders them equal. In the name of this fraternity torn apart by policies of extremism and division, by systems of unrestrained profit, or by hateful ideological tendencies that manipulate the actions and the future of men and women. It's the human nature, sir. You can't make a law that will change human nature. In the name of freedom that God has given to all human beings, created them free and distinguishing them by this gift. In the name of justice and mercy, the foundations of prosperity and cornerstone of faith. In the name of all persons of good, will present in every part of the world. In the name of God and of every stated thus far, Al-Azhar, Al-Sharif, and the Muslims of the East and the West, together with the Catholic Church and the Catholics of the East and the West, declare the adoption of a culture of dialogue as the path, mutual cooperation as the code of conduct, and reciprocal understanding as the method and standard. That's good, but this just never happened. And since it's never happened, why do they think they can accomplish it without a change of nature? They can't. And since neither of these religions nor the rest of these offer this change of nature, there is no hope. They're building a monster that's going to explode in the middle, just like it did back at Babel. We who believe in God and in the final meeting with Him and His judgment on the basis of our religious and moral responsibility and through this document call upon ourselves, upon the leaders of the world, as well as the architects of international policy and world economy, to work strenuously to spread the culture of tolerance and of living together in peace. Tolerance, of course, is to tolerate everything. You know, every sin is okay, you know, among them, and it's happening among them. That's what they're calling tolerance, is a tolerance for sin. But the Lord says just the opposite. And of living together in peace to intervene at the earliest opportunity to stop the shedding of innocent blood and bring an end to wars, conflicts, environmental decay, and the moral and cultural decline that the world is presently experiencing. And it's quite long, and I don't feel like boring you with all of that. Let's see. Oh, it's more of the same. Let me say that we know what's coming because the Word of God is very plain of what to expect. God has warned us specifically. You know, I've shared with you about this harlot in Revelation 17. And I've shared already proof throughout the scriptures that there are larger and lesser parables about this. For instance, the whole world came from Babel. They at once were one language. And they began to build their tower of Babel to heaven to reach God. God doesn't see how it's possible for men to reach Him. It has to be the other way around. And He comes and offers grace to bring that to pass. And through our faith, that grace is capable of making us one with God through a born-again experience. And it's not possible for man to reach God because of Adamic sin that's a part of their nature. Not possible. So He scattered them until a later time and spread them out on the continent. And in the days of Peleg, He broke up the continent and spread them out even further so that there would be some peace in the world. When they come together, there's going to be no peace. There's going to be an explosion. It's just not possible. So the harlot, from the very beginning, is guilty of the blood of the saints. And if you go back to the beginning, the harlot was all the way back in the beginning when Cain killed Abel. There was no Catholic Church back then. So, literally, the fullest parable you can see in Revelation 17 is that this harlot is the mother of all the daughter harlots of religion in the whole world. They all spread out from the same place. The Catholic Church decided to bring them all together under their authority. And they did, and they made the universal church, the Catholic Church. Church, the universal church. But it's a universal church. It'll go in any direction because basically they joined all the religions. It's not Christianity. You cannot join false religions with Christianity. It doesn't happen. But let me say this. If you want to see a lesser parable there, you can see that the mother of harlots was the Catholic Church, in whom all of these religions were incorporated, having daughters, which are called harlots. Who came out of the Catholic Church? She's the mother of the harlots. Who came out of her? The Protestant religions. Now you know which one of these religions you're supposed to be associating with, right? None of them come out from among them, he says. So if we look at the parable here, of the lesser parable here, the microcosm parable here of the Catholic Church bringing forth all of the harlots, you can see what the problem is. I'll just read it to you. He carried me away in the spirit. Verse 3. Into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. Well, we've got two beasts, two stages of the beast mentioned in the book of Revelation. The seven-head, ten-horned dragon in the first 3.5 years grew up to be the seven-head, ten-horned beast in the second 3.5 years. And the harlot is riding upon this beast. Much like we're seeing religion rise up now, house to house, till you be left alone in the field. Did you read that in Isaiah? Okay, this is what's happening. They're all coming together. And guess what? They want to exclude you. That's what he said there. That's what will happen. So that they can make an enemy out of you because you're standing in the way of their peace. They want to have peace with their sin. Let God be the God of all religions. And anything goes. And since there's no sin, which is the reason people really like the Catholic Church, is because they don't declare a lot of things sin. It's pretty easy, you know. Follow a few rules, you know, get sprinkled with some water and smoke blown in your face, and you're okay. It's pretty easy, you know. There's no born-again experience expected of them. There's no submitting to the Bible expected. If you try to get the Bible into their people, they will burn the Bible. Yes, they will. So, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. There it is. And let me tell you, this is a worldwide beast. This is exactly what they want to bring together, is the religions of the worldwide beast into one beast. And here's the beast. You can see it. So, listen, the whole world has never come together over anything. What would cause the whole world to come together to agree that they only have one enemy? And it's you and me. Well, the devil who rules over them, of course. He's deceiving them about this utopia that they're building. He's deceiving them, blinding them totally to the fact that throughout history, this has never worked. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having on her head a golden cup full of abominations and even the unclean things of her fornication. Yes, because she really doesn't have relations with God. It's with the whole world. That's why she's called a harlot. And upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. The Great. So there's greaters and lessers, right? The Great. The mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. She brought forth these abominations. Both the mother that started back at Babel and the mother that started later in Christianity. And the Protestants who protested her but only took two steps outside of her door and camped out. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. There it is. The martyrs of Jesus. The blood of the saints. This woman that's rising up right now, whether you want to talk about the corporate religions of the whole world coming back together, or whether you're talking about the Catholic Church itself, through the Dark Ages, one reason they were called the Dark Ages is because every time Protestant groups decided to believe the Bible, they persecuted them, killed them, burned their Bibles, burned them, etc. You say it's not going to happen again. We've got a different. No, we don't. There's no difference in the nature. It's still happening. It's happening. I know it's happening. I've had testimonies given to me that it's still happening. So, no, there's no change in this beast or this harlot. And there's no change possible because we're on the lower end of the degeneration track now. You know, we're on the bad end of the stick here. The gene pool is totally poisoned. It's not possible. And she's drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great wonder. And the angel said unto me, therefore didst thou wonder. Wherefore didst thou wonder? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. Well, we've already studied this pretty thoroughly. We can see now who the woman is, and their history repeats. So if you had a Catholic Church back at the beginning of the iron thighs and legs of the image of the beast, which that's where the Catholic Church started, what do you got on this other end where it's the ten toes made up of iron and clay? Clay, of course, never was a member of the Roman Empire or the Catholic Church. And it represents, yes, what's joining together right now, Islam. Islam doesn't have a history like that. Islam was not here back then. It's a new god, okay? And so the harlot that is riding this beast, when she's through doing her dirty work, what happens in this context? God puts it in the heart of the beast, the kings of the earth, to destroy her and burn her with fire. You see, the beast is only using, they don't believe in religion at all. They see religion as the pariah that it is. They don't believe in it at all. They're going to use it politically to gain power. And when they gain power, because this mother of harlots has persecuted and killed the saints, and the daughter harlots too have persecuted and killed the saints because they've done this, God is going to turn the beast against them. I had a man tell me recently that Catholicism was going to cover his land. I said, no, it's not. It's not possible. I said, you're only 1% in a land that's 99% Muslim. And I said, when you're through persecuting the saints, the beast in that land is going to destroy you. Oh. See, things happen not only on a large scale, but they happen on a lesser scale leading up to the large scale, right? So, yes, this has happened over and over. It's the same series of events. The harlot, the false Christian, persecutes and kills the Christians with the beast's acquiescence. And then God turns the beast on the harlot and destroys her. And then God destroys the beast. That's the series of events. It happens over and over. Think of all the beasts that came against the Jews when they were the people of God in the Old Testament. Every one of those was raised up by God, he said so, to come against them when they turned against him, when they became a harlot, because they received the seed of men rather than God. When they became a harlot, he raised up a beast to come against them and destroy them. Because when they became a harlot, they began to persecute the righteous people of God in their midst. Who killed the prophets? Who killed Jesus? Who killed his disciples? I pointed out to this man, you know, when you kill Christians, pay attention. In the Bible, who was it that killed the people of God? It was the wicked religious people that killed the people of God. And now I say, who killed those? And it was the beast destroying the harlot, then God destroying the beast. And that's the way it does. Now, what God is going to do with this beast is he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. Look at the beast government that's been ruling over the United States. Look at the division they started. Look at the division Obama started, and then Hitler started. Look at the division that they started. They started a persecution against anybody that didn't agree with them. Radical, screaming, foolish people. Demon-possessed people. Always coming against the right wing, no matter what they did or said, it didn't make any difference. There was a hatred there. You can see it. And God's not through, because this persecution always separates. Well, let me say, the parable of the sower, where there were four groups of people. Only one of them bore fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And the rest of them fell away. God's after that one that bears fruit. The one of the four that bears fruit. That's what he's after. Jesus and his disciples in John 6:6:6. They decided they didn't like what he was preaching. They decided to leave. And they were called his disciples. They were following him up to a point. And that's the way it always is. They will follow up to a point. If you bring persecution upon a people, it's going to separate the wheat from the tares. Now, when you make Christianity legal and admirable because it's very worldly in front of people, you don't have anything there yet. When you make it illegal, and that these people have to suffer to be a Christian, then you're going to find out who the Christians are. You'll never know before then. When it's not acceptable by the world to be a Christian, then you're going to find out who the real Christians are, because they're going to suffer for Jesus' sake. Because they love the Lord. They love the Word. They believe there's only one way, contrary to the new thinking. So, isn't it amazing, you know, what we're seeing out there, you know, as far as the world turning to something that they know is impossible by history? Isn't it amazing? So, in Revelation 17, the nations all come together to throw off the harlot. They decide, if this is what religion is like, we don't want anything to do with it, right? We don't want to be under their rules and regulations. You know, the law in the Old Testament was a bunch of rules and regulations that basically were given to the natural man to obey or be judged. Nobody was able to keep it because they hadn't gotten a change of nature. In the New Testament, the good news is that Jesus came and gave us his life. He gave us a change of nature. We don't live anymore. It's Christ that lives in us. So this faith causes it to happen. And there's no other faith in the world that does cause it to happen. There's still murderers and fornicators, and everything that they were before they made their agreement on paper. They're still everything that they were because of their nature. And what's going to happen when you try to impose laws on people who are lawless by nature. An explosion. Yes, it's going to fly all apart, just like it did at Babel. It's going to fly all apart. And the nations in all their unity are going to fall all apart. Even after their religion falls all apart, they will fall all apart. The only thing is, we've got a bigger Babel now than we had back then. The division in the earth in the days of Peleg, it's coming again to separate their wonderful ideals that have no power because there is no change of nature. You must be born again, Jesus said. It's in the Catholic Bible. It's in every Bible out there that is the Bible. You must be born again. What is that? Most of them don't know. I didn't know. I was putting my trust in men somewhat back when I was a child in church that they were telling me right. And I didn't know that was wrong. So after I realized when I started reading the Bible that that was wrong, that I should never put my trust in men or their religions, you know. Then I started to grow in Christ and realizing that what he is offering was so much better, and he has the solution, and they don't have it. All they've got is religion. They don't have the solution. Jesus has the solution. And he wants to give it to us. He wants us to continue to walk in this path because there is a great falling away happening. The tares are being separated. Because they want to continue in their sins. They have plateaued, as we used to call it. They've gone as far as they want to go. And when that happens, you're not bearing fruit. You either will fight the enemy or you will lose. You either put on the armor and cast down vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God and agree with the word, and you swing your sword. And your helmet of salvation protects your mind, and your shield of faith protects your heart. And as you put on this armor and you fight, you will win. If you don't fight, you will lose. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and violent men take it by force. It's a warfare. It's not a physical warfare, agreed. It is a warfare, though. You must fight, and you must fight every day until the Lord delivers you from this place. Some people get tired of fighting. They'd rather give in to the old man. We don't want him to die under those waters of baptism, the Word of God. So they begin the putting together of their kingdom in parallel to God's people coming out of Babylon, putting together their kingdom. And basically, here we are, the toes of the beast facing the toes of the body of Christ. And there's going to be a battle. And some people think they're winning that battle because, well, they kill. They kill people. They think they're winning the battle. How foolish. What if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? They're foolish. While they think they're winning, they're losing. The ones who are winning are the ones who turn the other cheek and are killed and are buffeted and put their trust in God and so on and so forth. Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. A cross is something to die on. And if you don't die to self, you will die to the flesh. Your flesh will die. So we are in this progress of 30, 60, and 100-fold of dying to self, going to our spiritual cross to die on. And most of the Christian religions don't realize that this is what it's all about. They're just having a party. They don't realize that there's a finish line, and we're running a race. It's really not against each other. It's against time. We've been given a certain amount of time to come across the finish line having borne the fruit of Jesus Christ. And the fruit has to come through the crucifixion of the old man. Because the old man of the land that the Israelites had to invade and kill represented the spiritual carnal man, the old man, the old life. And the Israelites represented the spiritual man who were told to go in there and kill them and take their house, which is this body that we dwell in, and raise their crops, which is the fruit of the Spirit, rather than the works of the flesh. It's also the fruit of the flesh. So your conquering of that old man is to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. Your failure to do that is to be fruitless and to be cast forth into outer darkness, just as Jesus said. We're here to die. Very few people know that. They think that winning is getting more toys than their neighbor, killing their neighbor if he stands against them, going to war in order to gain more toys, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they think all this is winning. How foolish. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. We want to be your disciples because that's for eternity. These people have no idea that a few years here on earth and they're like a vapor. They're a breath. And then they're going to eternity. And they sometimes think they're winning. And they're losing. They're deceived. Lord, we win when we go to our cross and we come into your image. A death, burial, and a resurrection into your image. That's how we win. There's no other way to win. The Lord is picking the fruits of the earth. He don't want the weeds. He doesn't want the tares. He wants the fruit that he planted. Every plant that my Father planted not, he's going to pluck it up and throw it in the fire. See, now the Pope is telling us, and I guess Islam too is telling us, that everybody's a child of God. Every plant that my Father planted not. Who planted these tares among the wheat, Jesus? An enemy hath done this. Uh-oh. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And then I'll send forth my angels and I'll gather together the tares into bundles to burn them. Well, look, they're bundling. Take a warning. They're bundling. And then the wheat will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. After what? After the tares have been bundled to be burned. Now, we got this tribulation, which is going to decide who is going to be a tare and who's going to be a wheat. By the end of that tribulation, the Lord's gathering his wheat into his barn, and guess who's bundled for the burning? Which we call the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's a day that's a year, just like the 70th week. Each day is a year. There's one day that comes after the 7 years, just like it was in the days of Noah. There were 7 days, and then there was what? A year of the flood. Isaiah 34 and 8. It's very plain that this day of the Lord is a year, like every other day in the Daniel's 70th week. Each one of those days is a year. So what's going to happen to the tares? They're going into the great and terrible day of the Lord. When the ark is lifted off, there is a flood of destruction coming upon the earth to destroy all the wicked who have persecuted God's people, put them on their crosses, and been so helpful in manifesting Christ in them. We all need help going to our cross, and these folks are there to help us. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, your mercy to us, O Lord. Please give wisdom to your people so we can cooperate with you in this process and understand what you're doing. Thank you so much, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, saints, we'll do this again. God bless you. Keep me in your prayers, and I will do so with you. Good night.